Let's turn together again to Acts chapter 15. We've gotten through what is commonly referred to as the Jerusalem Council here in Acts chapter 15, as they dealt with a very serious question. It's a question in which the gospel itself was challenged. There were those who were teaching a gospel of works rather than the gospel of grace. And so the church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas down to Jerusalem to talk to the church leaders there in Jerusalem, and they discussed this matter. And of course, the council came to the conclusion that both Jew and Gentile were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any works. And that was the conclusion of the council, because it was the truth. And they sent a letter back to the church of Antioch, along with Paul and Barnabas. And also there were two other men, one of them being Silas, that went back to Antioch, and they spent time in Antioch, assuring the believers there in Antioch that indeed they, as Gentiles, were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They did not have to be circumcised and become a Jew first, but just through faith in Christ. And we read there in verse 35 of chapter 15 that Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So Paul and Barnabas now are back in Antioch. They've assured the believers there, Gentile believers, that salvation is by grace. And they spend time there in Antioch. That's their home church. That's the church that originally sent them out to be missionaries. And now they're back ministering there in their home church and teaching and preaching. But if you know anything about Paul, you recognize that Paul doesn't stay in any one place very long. And so you come to verse 36, and some days after, we're not told how long, but some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So Paul is ready to hit the road again. He says to Barnabas, let's go back through to the churches that we've started in our first missionary journey, back through those cities, and see how those churches, how those believers are doing. As I said, Paul never stayed in any one place very long. He believed that God called him to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And to spread the gospel means you have to be going out. You can't stay in one place. You got to spread the gospel. And so he believed that was God's calling. And he even in Romans chapter 15, he said that he wanted to go where Christ had never been preached before. Let me just read those verses. You don't need to turn to it. But in Romans 15, "Yes, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have much hindrance from coming to you." He's speaking to the church there at Rome, and he just hasn't been able to get there because he's trying to preach the gospel everywhere he can. But he does want to go to Rome, and he says, I've been hindered from coming to you. But he says, "Now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." So in other words, Paul, he's ministering, and he kind of ran out of places to minister to. He wants to get someplace where Christ has never been preached, and he says, "Now I do want to come to you in Rome," but he's only going to Rome because he wants to get on to Spain, where Christ hasn't yet been preached. And that was just Paul's mentality. He had a passion for the lost. He wanted to preach where Christ had not been preached before. He wanted to see people saved. And so now he says to Paul, to Barnabas, as they've been in Antioch for a while, it's time to go, time to spread this gospel. Now, first he said, let's go to the churches where we were at in the first missionary journey. Let's go to those cities, see how those brethren are doing. But obviously, as we continue on, we realize that his ultimate goal was to get on to other places where Christ had not yet been preached. But first, he did want to go to the cities where they were during their first missionary journey. And that's important to understand as well. You know, the Great Commission is not just getting people saved, is it? The Great Commission was to make disciples and then to teach them all things whatsoever Christ had commanded us. It was to make disciples. And that involved, yes, salvation, but it also involved teaching. And so it wasn't just enough for Paul and Barnabas to go into a city, get people saved, start a church, and then leave and just have nothing more to do with them. Every one of his epistles, Paul wrote to churches to help train and to teach and to disciple. And now he wants to go back through those churches and he wants to help train and to see how they're doing and to teach. And so, yes, he wants to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, but he wants to fulfill the whole commission, Great Commission, to evangelize and to edify. And so he wants to go back through these cities and to these churches. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, we read that Christ gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. So Paul recognized as an apostle, his responsibility was not just to see people get saved, but to also perfect or mature the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry and then for the edification of the church. That was part of his ministry too, as an apostle. And so he wants to go back through these cities where they had established churches during that first missionary journey and to see them edified and to see them mature so that they can continue on doing the work of the ministry. That was his ministry as an apostle. So Barnabas is not opposed to leaving Antioch and getting back on the road. However, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Remember in the first missionary journey when Paul and Barnabas left Antioch, they took John Mark with them. And they first went to the island of Cyprus, which was Barnabas' home. Barnabas was from Cyprus. They first went to Cyprus. That was the first place they went on the first missionary journey. They took John Mark with them. They preached the gospel throughout the island of Cyprus. Then they sailed from Cyprus on up to Perga in Pamphylia. And we read in Acts chapter 13 that when they got to Perga in Pamphylia, John Mark went back to Jerusalem. Now that's all we read in chapter 13. There's no reason given for why John Mark left. There was no indication in chapter 13 that there was a problem with him leaving. It just says he left when they got to Perga. From there, Paul and Barnabas went on up to Antioch of Pisidia, not the same Antioch, the church that sent them out, but another Antioch in Pisidia. They went on up there and they preached the gospel there. But John Mark went back to Jerusalem. We don't know any more about that until we come to this passage. And now we find out that for whatever reason John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem, in Paul's mind, it was not a good reason. Paul said, no, we're not taking John Mark with us. He abandoned us on the first missionary journey. We're not taking him now on the second missionary journey. So Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Remember, John Mark was a relative of Barnabas. They were related. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Remember what Barnabas' name means? Encourager. And so Barnabas, John Mark's a relative. He wants to encourage John Mark. He's not so hard-nosed about it. He said, well, no, let's take John Mark with us. We can work with him. We can encourage him. But the hardened soldier, Paul, no-nonsense Paul, no way. He abandoned us. We're not taking him again. And it says here in verse 39 that the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. This contention got so sharp between them, this disagreement, that they separated. They just separated from each other. And Barnabas took John Mark and headed for Cyprus. Verse 40, Paul chose Silas. Remember Silas? Silas was one of the leaders in the church at Jerusalem. Silas is the one of the ones that the leaders in Jerusalem sent up to Antioch with the letter from the Jerusalem council to help the believers up in Antioch. Now Paul says, well, I'm going to take Silas. So Paul chooses Silas, and they departed, being commanded by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So Barnabas takes John Mark. They head back to Cyprus. Remember, Cyprus was Barnabas' home. Cyprus was the first place they went on the first missionary journey. So Paul said, you know, let's go back through the churches that we established on our first missionary journey. Let's go back to those cities. That's exactly what Barnabas does. He goes back to Cyprus, where they had first preached the gospel on the first missionary journey. Paul and Silas, they go up through Syria and Cilicia, and then you get down to verse 1 of chapter 16. They get on up to Derbe and Lystra. They were other cities that they went to during the first missionary journey. In fact, it was in Lystra where Paul was stoned and they thought they killed him. Now, I don't know if you can picture the map in your mind or not, but as Barnabas and John, Mark, go to Cyprus, they're following the same path that they did on the first missionary journey. That's the first place they went on the first missionary journey. They're going clockwise. They're Antioch. They go over to Cyprus, and then they went on up to Antioch of Pisidia, and then over along to Iconium and to Lystra and to Derbe, and then on back down to Antioch. They went clockwise. Barnabas and John Mark, they're going back to Cyprus. They're heading out the same way they did on the first missionary journey. But Paul and Silas, they're going up through Syria and Cilicia, and then they get on up to Derbe and Lystra. They're going counterclockwise, backwards from the way they went. So when it says they parted asunder, they did. They went opposite directions, but still going back to the churches that they had established on the first missionary journey. Now, when we read this, you know, being, I suppose, maybe the Americans that we are, what's the question that comes to our mind? Who was right? Isn't that the question we want to ask? Was Paul right or was Barnabas right? Was Paul right in saying we're not taking John Mark, or was Barnabas right in saying let's give him another chance? And we want to know the answer, you know, who was right? And I would contend this evening that they were both right. They were both right. There was not a wrong and right here. There was a difference of opinion. That doesn't make one right and one wrong, it's just a difference. You know, sometimes there can be differences in how we do things that's not right and wrong, it's just different. Now, if they got, you know, it says the contention was pretty sharp. If they got angry and started yelling at each other, okay, they're wrong. But as far as whether to take John Mark or not, I don't think there was a right or wrong. God used this difference of opinion to double the missionary activity. Now we got two teams going out. Barnabas and John Mark and Paul and Silas. We got two teams. And instead of one team going to all those churches, now we got two that are going back to those churches. And so God, I believe, just used this disagreement. Probably Paul should not have taken Mark with him. That was probably just a personality clash that wasn't going to work. But Barnabas, his name means encourager. That was going to be a perfect fit. Barnabas could be a little more patient with John Mark and just work with him and bring him along. Now, some would say, well, obviously Paul was right because we don't hear any more about Barnabas and his ministry. And that's true. This is the last time we hear anything about Barnabas and his ministry. And so obviously he was wrong. And no, we can't conclude that. God chose in his word to relay to us the ministry of Paul. But that doesn't mean that Barnabas was wrong. It's just this is what God chose to follow the ministry of Paul. But because we don't hear any more about Barnabas doesn't mean, in fact, you get into 1 Corinthians and as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he speaks approvingly of Barnabas' ministry. Others would say, well, here in verse 40, it says that the church there in Antioch commended, they were commended by the brethren under the grace of God, that the church in Antioch commended Paul and Silas, but it doesn't say that about Barnabas and Mark. Well, again, Luke, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is recording for us Paul's ministry. And so he just records that the church commended Paul and Silas to the grace of God. That doesn't mean they didn't do it for Paul, for Barnabas and Mark as well. They probably commended them to the grace of God also. Just because it's not recorded for us doesn't mean it didn't happen. And then we know that later on in Paul's ministry, he's in prison in Rome. He's writing to Timothy, and he says, by the way, Timothy, when you come visit me, bring Mark with you. He's been very valuable to me in the ministry. So in the end, Paul realized how valuable Mark was. Now, some would conclude from that Barnabas was right and Paul was wrong. Again, I don't think there was a right or wrong. Both of them were right at this moment. Mark shouldn't have gone with Paul. He should have gone with Barnabas. And God just used this difference of opinion to double the missionary activity. And so that's how I see that. What I find interesting, too, again, you don't need to turn to this, but in 1 Peter, as Peter writes his first epistle, he says this, by Silas, a faithful brother unto you, I have written. In other words, Silas was Peter's secretary when Peter wrote this first epistle. Silas was the one that wrote down what Peter was saying. And so he says, by Silas, a faithful brother unto you, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. I just find it interesting. Paul and Silas take off in one direction. Barnabas and Mark take off in another direction. But later on, as Peter's writing this first epistle, it's Silas, who's his secretary, and Mark is with Peter sending greetings to the ones that Peter's writing to. So now we got Silas and Mark together with Peter as Peter writes this first epistle. So Silas goes with Paul, Mark goes with Barnabas, but later on Silas and Mark are together with Peter. And Peter actually refers to Mark as his son, not in a physical sense, but I believe that just indicates that Peter's the one that actually led Mark to the Lord. And we also understand, as you read the Gospel of Mark, written by Mark, as you read the Gospel of Mark, it is written from Peter's perspective. That's something, as you study the book of Mark, you find out fairly quickly that the Gospel of Mark is written from Peter's perspective. And so Peter and Mark were pretty close. And as Mark writes that gospel, he's getting most of his information from Peter. And so there's these connections. Silas, Mark, Paul, Barnabas, Peter, there's these connections. And so again, God just used both Mark and Silas and Barnabas and Paul as they went out on this second missionary journey. Have any questions about any of that? Yes, Dave.
Christ when he was captured too.
Pardon?
There was a belief that Mark was with Christ when he was captured on that, at the Garden of Gethsemane, and that it was John Mark's mother's house they went to.
It certainly was John Mark's house that they went to in Jerusalem. That's where they had met to pray for Peter when he was in prison. It's possible that at the night of Christ's arrest, crucifixion time, that they went to her house.
At the Gethsemane, I think it was Mark. He was writing the gospel in that.
Again, we're not told, but it's possible Mark was with them in Gethsemane when Christ was arrested. Again, when he writes the gospel, he's writing it a lot from Peter's perspective. And so a lot of what he was getting was from Peter. So some of what he writes may sound like Mark was there when it was actually Peter that was there. But again, we don't know. It is, I think, very interesting that Barnabas chose to take Mark with them to give him that second chance, and I think that's a good thing. Again, some people's personalities maybe aren't quite as readily available to do that, and God can use them too, but then we need those Barnabases. We need those encouragers. We need those who are going to step out and take a chance on somebody. And I think that's what we see here. God uses both. Sharon?
This just struck me while you were talking, and I just want to know, is Paul preaching to the known world, or is there parts of the world that have not heard of Christ?
The question is, was Paul preaching to the known world, or were there parts of the world that had? Certainly, there was the known world out beyond where Paul was, and they knew that they were there. Paul just hadn't gotten there. He, you know, as it said, he wanted to go to Spain. That's quite a ways out there. Later on, some of the apostles, there's evidence not from Scripture, but there's evidence that some of the apostles went as far as India, China. And so that, you know, that world was known at that time. It's just that obviously they began in, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. We're going to have to quit there this evening. Get into chapter 16 next week as we do now begin to follow Paul and Silas. And it's interesting, you get into the first part of chapter 16 and we come across this guy named Timothy. And Paul decides to take Timothy with him and Silas. Timothy was a young man. So it's obvious that Paul is interested in taking younger men and teaching and training and mentoring and discipling them. That's what he was trying to do with John Mark. It didn't work out as far as Paul was concerned, but right away, now he finds a Timothy, and he wants to take Timothy with him. And we see Paul mentoring and discipling Timothy as we go through this. So very, very interesting as we recognize the importance of preparing the next generation to minister. Paul was taking now, he started with John Mark, that didn't work out, but Barnabas is taking John Mark. Paul now finds Timothy, both younger than Paul and Barnabas, and therefore training that next generation. And that's important for us to understand as a church. We need to be preparing that next generation to continue ministering for our Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, as we continue to study your word as we go through this book of Acts. It's so foundational to the church. I pray that we would learn and grow from it. And I just pray, Father, that we would be looking for those of the next generation that we can help train and disciple and mentor and carry on your ministry right here in Towanda and right here in this church. Again, Father, we thank you that you can use all of us. We do have different personalities, but you can use us as we are surrendered to you and as we humble ourselves before you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.